The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. I am thrilled today to bring you someone who is specialized in the world of Ayurveda. You guys have heard me talk very often about merging and mixing all the different systems of medicine. Well, today we're going to talk with Anantha Rupa Ajmera, who's the author of the best-selling book, The Ayurveda Way, 108 Practices from the World's Oldest Healing System for Better Sleep, Less Stress, Optimal Digestion, and More. She's a director of the program of development at Vedica Global, a foundation her teacher created to awaken health and consciousness in Ayurveda, yoga, and Vedanta. She has taught Ayurveda at Stanford University, California Department of Public Health, UNICEF, Mother Earth News Fairs, the New York Insight Meditation Society, and has been featured on Fox 5 News, Reader's Digest, MindBodyGreen, and more. Welcome to the show, Anantha.
Thank you so much.
We are excited to have you. You know, I have an integrative practice, a couple of practices, and we really stress the importance of merging the different systems of medicine together because I truly believe each system offers so much valuable insight. How did you even get involved in Ayurveda? What was sort of your journey into that world? I'm curious to learn about it. And then I'd love to dig more into your perspective.
Sure. So my journey really began, I would say, a long time ago in my teenage years when I was really struggling with eating disorders. I had anorexia, and then I was having a lot of trouble sleeping at night. I had really difficult time digesting my food, and I had lots of stress and anxiety. And I looked everywhere I could to try to find some solutions for it. And everywhere I searched, I found some partial relief, you know, that helped me at a physical level, or maybe it helped me at a mental level. You know, I'd go online, I'd check out online forums, I would visit doctors and therapists, and I would read books, and I just couldn't find the answers. So it wasn't until I moved to New York City to go to college at NYU's Stern Business School that I discovered yoga. And then through yoga, I was reconnecting with my roots, and that took me back to India, where I was training to become a yoga teacher. And that's where I really discovered Ayurveda and living the Ayurveda lifestyle, eating healthier foods, and I immediately started to feel better. So then I moved from New York to California right after college, and I soon after met my teacher, Acharya Shunya, at a talk that my friend had organized for her at Stanford University. So when I was sitting in the audience there, it was like all these things were clicking. I was finally, you know, finding some insights into a system that was truly holistic and that would address all parts of me, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And so that really, you know, set me onto my journey. And I found that just within a few weeks, all these things that I had searched so long and so far for were finally being addressed. And I was finally able to heal myself from all of the things that I was suffering with.
That's amazing. And so you jumping into the world of Ayurveda, was it sort of self-directed? Did you have other people pointing you in that direction? I'm just curious because of thinking about you as a teenager suffering from an eating disorder, you know, that must have been scary. How did, you know, who kind of helped you or led you in this direction?
Well, you know, I had a lot of wonderful teachers in high school during that time, and they were like, you know, leading me one by one towards this path of reconnecting with my roots, of then discovering yoga. And then once I was on the path with yoga teacher training and I moved to California, then some friends at a meditation circle I was a part of had strongly encouraged me to meet my teacher. Actually, four of them were really, really convincing me that I must go and meet her and that I can study further with her. So I was really, I think, led step by step by this intention, by this desire, really, to take control of my own health and to be able to really take health into my own hands. So it was my intention, but then there was a lot of support that organically came along the way.
That's amazing, and it's always amazing how that happens. As you set that intention and things just sort of open up for you. How would you, for the listener, you know, today, how would you define Ayurveda and its four-dimensional definition of health? You know, when I use that word in practice, I still feel like it's a term that a lot of the population is not familiar with. People are still really not sure what it means or where it's coming from. If you had to really boil down Ayurveda, how would you describe it?
Well, if I were to boil it down into one word, it would be balance. Ayurveda is truly a science that is all about balance. And we want to find balance in four different areas. It's not just the body, mind, and spirit, which is what all of the holistic systems talk about these days, but we also look at a fourth dimension, which is that of the five senses. So Ayurveda really examines what we are seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, and hearing, because all of these are, you know, like all these senses are like doorways through which we are understanding and then interacting with the world around us. And so we really, you know, look at all of these dimensions in order to see how we can bring a sense of balance to them all. And Ayurveda itself comes from two root words, Ayush, which means life, and Veda, which is knowledge or the study of. So truly, Ayurveda is the knowledge or study of life. And it's very unfortunate, you know, that it's so unheard of these days, because I think there's just so many years and years of colonial rule of India that,
right,
a foreign rule, I should say, of India, that people lost their confidence in their own, you know, heritage and their own healing system. And just because of the presence of a few pioneers, including my teachers, you know, teachers in India, it was able to sustain itself. And also because it really delivers results. It really looks at the root causes of why we are manifesting certain imbalances in the first place, and then seeks to address those so that we can really, you know, manifest health in all of these different ways. And health truly then is, you know, a matter of like a state of joy and you know, satisfaction of the body, of the mind, of the spirit, and of these five senses.
I mean, I'm always fascinated by Ayurveda and some of the Eastern systems of medicine, because they take this very comprehensive approach to health and life, and they bridge that. I always talk about how your health is your life, and you know, the chemistry of your health kind of dictates the outcomes of your life. And, you know, there's nothing innovative that I really came up with. I mean, these are things that were rooted in Ayurveda, rooted in Chinese medicine, rooted in these old systems of medicine. And, you know, again, for everybody listening today, it's important to understand that these older systems of medicine are not just what you're hearing a lot of right now with mind, body, spirit, you know, food, all of that stuff. You know, I think a lot of people have latched onto those things as being connected and important. But even opening up further to how the senses, I love what you said, how the senses become the doorways to different aspects of your life and your life experience. So everything from sight and taste and touch and what you smell, all of that is cumulative and collective in terms of what your body experiences. So again, just so much valuable information in these older systems of medicine. You know, the role of food in medicine is an area where I think of people, you know, the majority of my patients and people that I talk to, I feel like that part everybody has started to understand. You know, now the confusion is, you know, well, what's the right plan for me and how do I need to eat? Can you talk to us a little bit about where food fits into the Ayurvedic model of health and how would they use food to both live your life and to treat?
Yeah, absolutely. So food is very, very essential. We believe that food is medicine and that the root of health is the digestion. So we can actually, you know, see how we're doing every morning when we wake up. Are we getting a bowel movement, first of all? And, you know, now it's not just like, oh my gosh, I have to go to the bathroom. You know, it's like, yes, bowel movement happened in the morning. All things are going well because we really find that to be an important indicator of our overall health. So whether it's a solid consistency, it should be easy to eliminate, it should be, you know, ideally not smelling too much, like all of these are really good signs that everything is functioning smoothly. And the good thing about the Ayurveda Way, which is my book that you had mentioned, is that it will share with you in the first chapter itself about many different food as medicine recipes that you can try to promote good health throughout the year. And then there are many recipes in the second chapter, which incorporate different medicinal spices that you can try. And some of them are old, they're like new spins on old favorites, like how you can enjoy pasta in an Ayurvedic way so that you can still have that. You can still have fajitas, for example, but you can learn how to make them in a way that will support your digestion. And then instead of, you know, making it so complicated, like it is often in the Ayurveda world today with all these different, you know, self-diagnostic tests where you can find out your dosha and then eat according to your dosha, we have actually, you know, discovered through the Ayurvedic text that there are some seasonal diets that we can follow safely to really live in harmony with nature throughout the year. So these are also what I've presented in my book in the last chapter, which is on seasonal routines and putting it together and how you can, you know, change your diet slightly throughout the year to really, you know, keep things interesting, first of all, have a variety of foods that you can eat and enjoy throughout the year, and also to eat in a way that keeps you healthy, because we don't believe that you can just, you know, follow the same routine with your food or your even your lifestyle all throughout the year. We want to actually
right.
make some changes according to what's going on in the macrocosm, because we believe that we are like a miniature version of the macrocosm. We're the microcosm, and so we want to do what we can to really keep ourselves in harmony with what's happening around us.
Here's the deal. To truly thrive in all areas of your life, you cannot ignore the importance of good health. I've learned this firsthand, and for many of us, time is our most valuable asset. This is why I love Organifi Green Juice, an organic superfood green juice powder you just add to water to get your greens anytime, anywhere. When you invest in your health, you gain more time because you have more energy and focus to get through your day. The best thing about Organifi Green Juice is that it actually tastes good. Try it for yourself and use the code WHOLEHEALTH at Organifi.com to receive 20% off your order.
So I know what my listeners are thinking right now. They're like, okay, that's all fantastic and great, but I have a busy life and I can't be thinking about the macrocosm and the microcosm as I move through life day to day. But I love what you said about, you know, like, hey, you can have fajitas, but do it in the right way. Can you give us some tangible examples of how in today's society and culture, when we don't have maybe the leisure of time that they had in the past, how do we make some of these things practical? Like, how do we eat in an Ayurvedic way? What are some very practical examples as we're maybe running to the grocery store, or sitting down to eat, you know, and how do we structure our life in maybe a more Ayurvedic way? What are a couple of two or three things that you would be able to throw out there as saying these are things that anybody can do at any point, no matter what their schedule is like, no matter what they have going on?
So the number one thing I would say is that wherever you are, even if you can't cook, you can choose warm, cooked, gently oiled foods on the menu. So even if you have to eat out, you can actually make that choice. And that will be probably the best thing that you can do to improve your digestion and really start to manifest optimal health. Because we believe that the digestion is like a fire in Ayurveda. So it's like a metaphor for, you know, how the digestion is. So when you put a lot of cold substances into the fire, it tends to put the fire out. Whereas when you put warm substances in, it kindles that fire and it allows, you know, the food to travel to the different places in the body where it needs to go. Because according to the laws of physics, whenever there's heat, there's expansion. And whenever there's coldness, there's constriction. So the body is imagined to have these channels through which the food is traveling. And we want to make sure that we put warm substances into those channels so that, you know, everything happens optimally and we are able to experience better digestion as a result. That is something I definitely benefited from immediately when I started to practice Ayurveda. And it's something that has really helped clients of mine who suffered from a lot of chronic constipation. And it's so great because you don't even have to cook. You can just, you know, make that choice. Another thing I would recommend is to start incorporating a few simple Ayurvedic spices into your food. So again, even if you're traveling, even if you don't have a kitchen or you can't cook, you can actually buy some cumin seeds and you can get fennel seeds and even bishop's weed seeds, which are called ajwain in Hindi. Mm-hmm. And these mm-hmm. can be ground up, you know, and they become into a powder, which can then be applied to your food. So even if you're eating steak or, you know, things that are really heavy and difficult to digest, you can just take this with you in a small container. And I do that when I'm traveling and just put it onto your food. And so no matter what you're eating, you'll have more support to be able to digest that better.
So just to recap, just to make sure everyone caught that. So choosing warm food, and the idea with warm food is that it's easier on the gut, it's easier on the digestive system. And quite honestly, even with my book launching with the different power types and things like that, one of the things we're noticing as people take my quiz is that the majority of patients are of that type that has a lot of gut issues. I think it's a Western issue. I think it's a modern day era issue that the majority of the population has some level of digestive distress, which in turn leads to inflammation and then all the other things that follow. So really, you know, choosing warmer foods, eating deliberately, using ajwain, which is essentially fennel seeds. I'm so excited to learn that because my mother-in-law talks about ajwain all the time. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is. So it's actually fennel seeds that can be used as a powder. That's another way to improve the digestion of your food. And then what is your third sort of on-the-go tip for us, you know, when we're trying to think and eat in an Ayurvedic way?
Well, the third one would be actually ghee. So ghee is clarified butter.
Love ghee, yes.
It's not only delicious, but then it's also really, really healthy for you. So there have even been some research studies that have been done that found that having a small quantity of ghee for people who are having obesity or diabetes actually helps them to lose weight and to, you know, reduce their diabetes. So it's pretty amazing that you can enjoy this, but you have to enjoy it in the right quantity for your particular health goal.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah. But it's so helpful, you know, so you can add just a little half a teaspoon of ghee to your cooked foods. You can also cook with it instead of regular oil, and that will definitely make a big difference.
So I love ghee. And again, you know, to me, the fascination of a lot of this is how it lines up with science. And one of the things we've learned with ghee and some of the fats, the ghee in particular, is that it actually stabilizes gut bacteria. So when we're talking digestive health and we're talking about the rise of inflammation and all these other issues that we're seeing today as, you know, as medical issues or medical problems, you know, ghee is great. It really helps to stabilize the gut bacteria. It helps to lower inflammation. You know, the warning again, she said half a teaspoon. I would stay between half a teaspoon to a teaspoon or cook in it. You just don't want to overdo it. I always joke that I came from a family where they overdid it on the ghee and the meat and the dairy, and they had, you know, chronic heart disease was their issue. And I remember going to India and visiting my family and being like, oh my God, they're all humongous, you know? So again, it's about moderation and it's about keeping things in balance. But I think that half teaspoon to a teaspoon of ghee, I love that. And if anyone out there has not tried ghee, I strongly recommend that you do. You also briefly mentioned, and I don't know how much of this you touch on in your book, but you also mentioned the doshas, and everybody loves a good dosha quiz. You know, I've got one in my book. You know, I know patients love it all the time. They bring it in with them to their appointments. Talk us through the doshas and how much importance should we paying to the doshas when we're thinking about caring for ourselves in an Ayurvedic way. I'm curious, it seems like you're not so focused on the doshas as you're more focused on being in harmony with sort of your environment. So talk me through that one a little bit.
Sure. You know, the doshas are definitely a fascinating subject, and they are considered the pillars of health in Ayurveda. So they're definitely very important. But the thing is, they tend to be more important for practitioners to be able to help people to bring their doshas into a state of balance whenever they get out of balance. So what I have presented and really recommend more in my book is the patterns of healthy eating and healthy lifestyle behaviors that the Ayurvedic texts have recommended for most people who are relatively healthy to really stay healthy and to prevent disease. So this is called Swastha Vritta, and it comes from, you know, the word swastha, which is health, and vritta, which are like those patterns, which bring you swastha, which is health. So these are really like the more general recommendations that most people can safely follow without needing to really diagnose yourself or know your dosha or, you know, any of that, because that can get a little bit complicated as, you
right.
know, people can have more than one, they can, you know, focus more on what they were born with, when actually we want to look more at what's out of balance currently, and then how to bring that into balance without putting another one out of balance, you know, to begin
right.
with. So it's not so simple, which is why, you know, it was important to present what is generally recommended. And the seasonal diet is definitely an important thing to follow, because even if your doshas are really out of balance, for the vast majority of the time, the recommendations that we actually make to clients to help them come back into balance is by following a seasonal diet and by eating warm cooked foods and having spices. And, you know, all of this will really, really help you. So I just wanted to make it a little bit easier for people to not have them have to scratch their head too much to try to figure it out, you know, themselves.
That's great. I love that. So tell us a little bit about the book. I'd like to learn more about kind of what's in the book. And the book, by the way, for everyone listening, is The Ayurveda Way, 108 Practices from the World's Oldest Healing System for Better Sleep, Less Stress, Optimal Digestion, and More. So tell us a little bit about what's in the book and what my listeners might be able to find, you know, once they get their hands on it.
Sure. So the book is divided up into four sections. The first one is Healing Your Body. So this talks about food as medicine, the magical world of healing Ayurvedic spices, and how to have beauty naturally, so a lot of natural beauty practices. Then the second part of the book is really going into strengthening your mind. So there I've explored the art of mindful eating and how you can really change your mind to change your life with many different yoga practices, breathing exercises, and just even changing the way we think about ourselves and our lives to really reduce our stress and start to feel more, you know, rejuvenated and recharged. And then the third section of the book is about freeing your spirit. So this talks about inspired morning practices that you can do on any schedule with any amount of time. They don't have to take very long. And then it teaches you about how to really practice self-love and self-care. And then the fourth part of the book is about putting it all together with daily and seasonal routines that are recommended by the ancient Ayurvedic texts. So this allows you to put together a daily flow, you know, pick and choose from the book what works for you. So I have some charts in the book that kind of show you like my day with Ayurveda, and then they invite you to just choose out of that which practices you want to incorporate into your daily routine. And then in the seasonal chapter, there's a whole chart of the different seasonal foods that are recommended and the taste that Ayurveda recommends you enjoy during the different times of year. And then it also tells you about stuff like when you can plan for your marathon race and how to, you know, be able to conceive during the best time of the year and the best way to lose weight and some of these kinds of things.
Well, that's amazing. And your book is really a book for everyone, not necessarily just for women or just for men, correct? It's really geared to everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. And, you know, are there some tips that you would, you know, for maybe some of the female listeners or even the male listeners, are there specific tips for each of them that you would include? You know, things that you've really seen important in Ayurveda for women, and maybe some specific things important for men that we don't talk about maybe normally in the, you know, conventional Western model?
Yeah, you know, I think the book tends to definitely appeal a lot to women because I think as women, we often are not encouraged to really take the time to care for ourselves. We're so often taking care of everyone else and putting our needs last. So I think the foundation of this book was really my own journey to learn how to care for my own self. I was a student at NYU in the social entrepreneurship program, and I was ready to change the world at age 20. And then I realized that until I was actually healthy myself, I wouldn't be able to really help anyone else. So this was my journey to really practice and to live the different practices that I then wrote about in my book. And I think that is so much the foundation, is just taking that, you know, time and putting that intention into really caring for ourselves. So in that way, I think it's definitely something that women really resonate with and can benefit from, because then, you know, women can introduce it to their families and their partners and, you know, everyone.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I mean, it's just, again, to me, the beauty of this, and I wish, you know, my deepest hope is that we'll continue to forge forward with a new model of living and a new model of medicine where we understand the connections, we understand how the fundamental issue of health, which many people see in a box separate from their life, is absolutely connected to their life, and the way their life plays out is connected back to their chemistry. It's just like cooking in the kitchen. You would, you know, all the ingredients you put into any type of soup are going to determine what that soup is like. It's the same thing with your life. All the different ingredients you put into that life of yours, which is really the chemistry of you, is going to determine the way your life plays out. So, you know, a lot of that is already in Ayurvedic literature, in the older systems of medicine. We just need to educate ourselves more on it and learn more about it so that we can put those principles into the lifestyle that we're all leading today. Are there any final tips or tricks or advice that you would love to offer my audience before I let you go? This has been a wonderful learning journey about Ayurveda. Anything else you really feel like everybody needs to know?
I would say that I would love to address a common question that I receive, which is, do I have to do all of the 108 practices? And I want to reassure everyone that you don't. You can actually just flip through the book at your leisure and really, you know, follow your heart with it. See what practice or what couple of practices really speak to you the most, and then go with your inspiration. There's a fundamental principle in Ayurveda of like increases like. So you can see that in the pattern of addiction, right? Where it's like you need more in order to keep getting the same kind of high that alcohol or drugs or anything would give you. But fortunately, the reverse is also true. So the more positive choices you make, the more of these practices you put into action, the more your, you know, progress and your feeling of satisfaction and following through on what you've set out to do will just naturally propel you forward. So just, you know, your excitement around actually doing something that makes you feel inspired and joyful will be the best thing to do. And that will naturally, you know, get you onto a path of healthy living and really take you far. And that was what it was for me. Like my first practice that I was inspired to do was starting to look at my hands every morning when I wake up. And really, you know, it's an ancient Vedic ritual where you affirm that health, power, and abundance lies within your own hands. And it's just a fantastic way to start the day, to affirm that everything that we're looking for in our lives really lives within.
I love that. So remember, the power is in your hands, and choose the tools to help you move forward. Anantha, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. If we are looking for you and want to learn more, what is the best way to find you?
You can visit my website, which is Whole Yoga, Whole Yoga Ayurveda, AYURVEDA.com.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again for joining us. And for everybody out there, learn more about Ayurveda. Pick your favorite ways to implement it into our daily lives and be the best version of yourself that you can be. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.